I'm Jackie Vetrano from Skidmore College.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
Welcome to the show. Really excited to have
you
here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's I know it's a crazy time for you. I'm very excited that you were able to carve out an hour with us.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk to you.
All of your craziness.
That's making my life. It's a whole bunch of craziness, but
it is. So beginning of the
Welcome
semester.
To higher ed.
Oh my God, I know. So when all the students come back, everything gets crazy. But I'll have you introduce yourself before I forget for our listeners. So you can do that however you'd like.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. My name is Danzel Jones. I am originally from Lawrence, Massachusetts, which is about 40 minutes north of Boston, if you kind of know that area a little bit. I am currently a first-year graduate student, and actually I'm the first person in my family to be going for my master's, which I'm actually very excited about. I am taking up media studies currently. Very excited to be starting this new journey. I switched programs. I was originally public administration. I was a part of the public administration program, but it just wasn't my fit, and just being able to transfer into media studies, that's a better comfort zone for me. But not only that, it's also where my passion's at. After graduating from the University of Massachusetts Amherst back in 2017 with my bachelor's in communication, so I'm actually really excited to continue on this journey, and I'm also glad just to be able to be a part of you guys' show.
Wow. I don't think we've ever talked with a grad student that's working in res life that isn't earning a master's in student affairs or something similar.
Yeah, see, that's like kind of the interesting thing too, is because like originally I actually kind of wanted to go into student affairs more within higher education with the focus in student affairs. Mm-hmm. And when I originally started in like my process for applying to grad schools, I actually originally got denied by all my options for the program. So I was kind of in between, like, by continuing all of my communication degree and then also kind of going towards higher education. But it originally didn't work out for me until I actually applied to be, which my current job position right now is a graduate hall director at West Virginia State University. And at that same time, it also gave me the gateway to actually go for my master's. So it all kind of worked in together. So I consider it a blessing. And yeah. Like, that's basically kind of, like, how I got to the point I'm at right now.
Yeah. Were you involved in residence life or something similar in your undergrad?
Yeah, so I was actually the one that was very involved in almost everything. Like, whatever Reach. It was that was there, I did it. So it's just, like, it wasn't until... So I started off in community college, then transferred over into UMass. So I got my associate's degree and then got my bachelor's, but... While I was at UMass, by my senior year, so fall of 2016 is basically when I actually became a resident assistant, or RA, for the very first time. I did it because, like, my sister actually used to be an RA when she was in undergrad. And, like, I heard, like, about her own experience about being an RA. And originally it was like, you know, I kind of want to do it, but I'm going to have to deal with the same thing. But I'm just like, you know what? Like, I actually just love helping people. And I'm a very people person. Like, I like to sit and talk and get to know people. So becoming an RA was kind of like my go-to thing. And then, but before I became an RA, I was actually an orientation leader during that summer time period in 2016. So just being able just to had that engagement with students and then end up becoming an RA. And then, of course, while I'm going around campus, all the people that I basically had during the orientation, I'm like, you are my NSO leader. Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God. Why are you calling me out in public?
I would tell my residents all the time. I was like, please don't scream, that's my RA, like I'm some sort of zoo animal, like across the quad, please. Like, I'm a real person.
Speak for yourselves. Our students used to, at least one particular class, like, took pictures of me, like, from long distances away and then posted it on the internet and the hashtag Logan sightings. Now, they did it in the class of Facebook group, but, I mean... being called out in the calf is one thing. To see like creepy pictures through the bushes of yourself, that's a different thing.
My residents...
running on campus and then take a picture of me. That's just, yeah.
Yeah, when my residents, they were first years, they saw me like walking to class. It was maybe like, it was late in the semester. It was not like the first week. And they ran into me on my way to class and I was like, oh, hey guys, you know what's going on? And they're like, you leave the building? And I'm like, yeah, I go to class. And they're like, oh, we thought you were like full time, like you were hired full time to like be in the building. I was like, guys, wow. Really?
That's seriously? What RDs are for.
Seriously? Like, no.
Like for me, it was like, I'm an extreme extrovert. Like, I don't think that there's ever the moment that I'm actually not like putting myself out there. So throughout the whole summer, as I getting to know these students, like I was basically kind of like the cool NSO leader that everybody just kind of wanted to be with. And even though like I'm good at faces and not names, so it's like as I was going around, it's like there were certain people I remember their names because it's like we basically clicked very well together. And then you have some that was just like, you're my NSO leader. I'm like, no, I wasn't. I'm glad you remember me. And I always like to joke with people too, like when they're yelling my name like from like across the way, I'm like, you know, I told you not to be yelling my name out like that because you know the police are looking for me. Don't do that.
So you want to be careful though, because they might believe you.
Yeah, like, you gotta be careful. Yeah. That.
Unless they are looking for you.
Make sure that like, I broke that down to them. That like, look, I'm just joking. The police
are like, first year students, man. They believe everything.
They really do.
Yes,
so are you working with first-year students now?
I'm actually kind of working with all of them, per se. So, like, I have a mixture between first-year and multi-year students. So it's not, like, kind of like the typical colleges where it's, like, this building's like for first-year students. This is for multi-year students, apartments, all that good stuff. So it's, like, the way that is set up here is that everybody's intertwined with each other.
That's
so
interesting.
You can have like a first year student with like a senior or a sophomore or like two freshmen and a junior and a sophomore. So everybody's just like intermingled with each other. And then in one of the buildings, like on like our first floor on like half of the building wise, we have like apartments that students can basically rent from. And then we have basically in that same building, we have doubles, triples and quads. While with our other residence hall, they're just mostly all doubles with a very few select singles that are basically selected for each academic year.
Cool. Wow. That's really neat. I mean, I did like working with all first year students, but I think it'd be cool to have a more diverse group of students to work with.
Yeah, for me, it's like I like working with first year students when it comes to like doing like new student orientation, just because of the fact that they're very fresh. So it's like you can instill what it is that is expected of you in advance before they come in and they're just like, yeah, so what am I supposed to do?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So you catch them very early on and give them the knowledge and understanding in advance. So when they come, then it's like they don't have to like think about it. It's like, okay, I remember this from an NSO that right. I'm supposed to do this and then do that. And I got to make sure that I'm putting myself out there so I can basically be able to make my networks happen and start getting connected with people that was suggested by my NSO leader. So that's basically what I did. And basically what I encourage students to continue to do is just put yourself out there. You have to get to the point when you feel comfortable being uncomfortable. Basically saying that it's like everybody has that point in time where it's like they don't want to be in uncomfortable situations, but it's like it's those types of situations where you need to put yourself at so you can feel comfortable in those uncomfortable places.
Right.
That's like solid life advice.
It is solid life advice.
I've moved to a new city twice now, and both times it was the same. It felt the exact same way. It felt almost worse because I didn't have like a class to go to where I could just naturally be forced to meet people. Right. It was like I had to go out and make new friends.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was in high school, actually. Like freshman and sophomore year, I stayed by myself. Like I was that shy person that stayed in the bubble. I know, hard to believe. But it wasn't like until like, I did an Upward Bound program through this school, and I remember this clearly, and I'm grateful that he's actually still in my life to this day. I kind of consider him like my main mentor, but like I always like sat with like the camp staff like every single time when it came to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I didn't sit with nobody else. So it was like one day he came up to, he saw me sitting with them and he was like, okay, look, you are not allowed to sit with them anymore. It's either that you get up and you go and make some new friends or you can go home. He didn't say just like that, but that's kind of like how it felt to me. And it was that tough love moment that he needed to put into me that it's like, I'm here to make friends. I'm here to get a new experience. So if I'm just going to sit back and not try at least, then what's the point of me being here? So he actually took my tray that I had my food on and actually sat at a table with a whole bunch of like other people that were there and like was just like, okay, now talk to them. And that's basically how I kind of like started like breaking that shell and just being able to start making new friends and just started becoming like this very big extrovert that I am now.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that was your story.
Nobody does. And everybody's always, and like a lot of people are shocked when I tell them that I used to be an introvert.
I think people move in phases.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Watching students, especially first year students, like grow out of that. I think it's just like, it's overwhelming to be placed in like a new environment with people you don't know, like a life basically that you don't understand yet. Cause like high school and college in terms of like just class structure are so different. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we all make it through.
We do.
We made it through.
Somehow, some way we make it through.
So are you enjoying your time now as in like the professional side of student life, and even though it doesn't seem like that's really your destined career path, how are you liking it?
So, as like with any type of job, it always has like its ups and down moments. When I first got here, we're basically in like the city called Institute, West Virginia, and when I first like accepted the job and whatever, I was happy the fact that I was going to be able just to, again, be able to work with students because, again, that's like where one of my passions are at. And just being able to have that opportunity to be able to just come here. So basically when I got to West Virginia, like actually my supervisor came and got me from the airport. I see we're getting further and further away from the city area. And I'm like, does she know where she's going? Maybe she has to pick somebody else up. Maybe that's what it is. And it's like, the next thing you know, I see the sign that says West Virginia State University. I'm like, oh, so I am in the boonies. Okay. At least I know how to adjust to this.
So you hadn't seen this, you hadn't seen campus at all before you got there?
All I can base it off of was just what I saw based on the website. And like that wasn't even helpful to me at all because just like that just didn't really give me the full scope of what like the school basically looked like. And so seeing is always believing. Yeah. And it's always kind of like how like when you first apply to colleges, like teachers, guidance counselors always suggest that you go and visit the school. If you see yourself at the school, then apply. But if you don't, then mm-hmm. basically just don't apply. So for me, when it came to like, especially for undergrad, that was the worst advice that I could have ever been given because it was just like, I basically applied to like 23 different schools and only got accepted to about like 7 or 8 of them. So
I don't know how you applied to that many schools.
A lot of them were free applications, so I was grateful for that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you just throw them out.
And then it was like, my guidance counselor, he gave me the hookup. So it was like, he always gave me like them free waivers just to put towards my school. So I'm just like, thank you very much.
There you go. Yeah. I guess if you have it, you may as well, right?
Like, seriously. So it's like, I saw myself everywhere. Yeah. And it was just like, West Virginia, it was just like, okay. Like, I know I said I can, like, adjust to anything, but this is a real major adjustment.
So how has the adjustment been going?
So since being in West Virginia, it's been very challenging, both professionally and personally. Right. Again, like, this is, like, actually my first time actually, like, I mean, I'm a traveler. I like traveling different places. So, like, being away from home is nothing to me. The first out I've ever been was to, like, England. And I did, like, a semester abroad over there. Mm-hmm. But I stayed, like, in communication with my mom. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, now I'm, like, still in the United States, but I'm in, like, a whole different state. And it's just, like, okay, this is West Virginia. I have nothing around me, so this could be a problem. But
you got mountains.
Me and nature, we don't mix.
Nice.
We don't mix, so you know.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah. but just being here, it has challenged me, but it also helped me grow as well, because it's like, when I do officially get out into the adult world and start having, like, getting, like, paid, like, a lot of money and whatnot, it's like, there are going to be moments where it's like, I may end up living out of state. So it's like, I need to learn how to start being independent and start mm-hmm. getting myself ready for this real world where you need to start paying rent, you need to start paying bills, you need to start doing all these different things. And it's just like, I feel like I'm continuously avoiding that state.
Yeah.
So it's like, so just being here is just like, I'm always like looking at myself. I'm just like, I'm still not getting that adult feeling. So it's like, yeah, my school is being paid for. My apartment is being paid for. Like, everything is being paid for me. Like, I just probably have to, like, cough up, like, a couple hundred dollars for, like, all, like, these, like, fees and whatever. But other than that, it's just like, I don't have that feeling of being an adult. So it's just like, I'm, like, always, like, relying on my mom or my sister just to, like, let me borrow some money until I get paid so I could be able to do stuff. So it's, like, the challenging part is that because I have my own apartment, it's, like, making sure that, like, my fridge and, like, my cabinet stay stocked up. And it's, like, I can't do that because I have to pay my phone bill. Mm-hmm. And then it's, like, I'm just, like, spending my money on a whole bunch of other stuff that I didn't even need to spend it on and just don't get my life together. But professionally wise, again, it's that mode from being from like undergrad to being a grad student, mm-hmm. Or from being an RA to a graduate hall director, that there's different things that need to be done. There comes situations where it's that a resident will be very quick just to throw you under the bus and saying like, well, Denzel basically said it was fine. And he didn't say nothing about it. He just let it go. So I see how I can improve with that. And I just take it as a learning opportunity just to, like, I need to make sure there's that boundary that's set up that is like, look, we can be cool and whatnot, but just know if you do something that's breaking residents' life policies, I have to do my job because, one, you know what you're doing is wrong. I know what it is that you're doing that's wrong. So let there be no discrepancy that I'm not trying to play favorites. You're being treated like every other student that is on this campus, and you have, and you know, the same policy and regulations that go on here. So I'm just taking what I learned from those types of experience and just kind of just trying to adapt and just make my mission kind of go smoothly. But I just keep reminding myself that it's like, at least I'm still doing what it is that I love to do. And with all the students that is I get a chance to work with, I enjoy them very much. And just being able to wake up every morning, even though, again, like, as regular adults, like, it's always hard just to push yourself to get up and go to work in the morning.
Yep.
But we get up, we do it, and then you get that sense of, like, you actually completed something. And that's basically what I get every single time when I show up at the office, and I'm just, whether it's that I'm just sitting there and, like, students are just coming in and out, or just, like, getting, like, some of my assignments done for classes or from other people, like, for my job, then it's just, like, I feel satisfied that, like, I actually just did something today.
Yeah.
So what kind of classes are you taking?
So, like I mentioned before, I'm starting with the media studies program this semester. So I'm actually enrolled in right now a digital storytelling class.
What does that focus on? Just curious, as a digital marketing manager, what are you focusing on in that? Just curious.
So the way that, like, I was told about, like, the class, with, like, what they do and whatnot.
Yeah, I imagine you're, like, a week into it, but, you know.
Actually, we haven't even started yet. We actually start on Tuesday.
Oh, that's interesting.
I won't be in that class until next Monday, because since tomorrow is basically a holiday. But basically, it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like an intro level to, like, kind of like generalized communication, like going back into, like, communication and kind of like just learning about what it is that you can do, like, with regards to, like, video production, radio production, animation, sound and audio, you know, like, different things like that. And, like, kind of like a little bit about what the description, like, basically says, it's kind of like, it's like a foundation course in, like, the study and application of media aesthetic principles to visual media, utilizing digital imaging and manipulation technologies and software. So, so again, it's kind of like that standard course to just, like, teaching students on how to be able to, like, use, like, the software and equipment that are provided to the school and for students to be able to use. So, again, like, editing software, camera equipment, stuff like that.
That's really awesome. Cool. I wish I could take a class like that.
I'm actually very excited about that. So my second class I'm taking is a mass communication theory. And it basically says students will learn about the structured content, process, and effects of communication, the contributions of other disciplines, and barriers to effective communication. Kind of like looking at the relationship between, like, theory building and research, and, like, between, like, theory building and researching, is basically kind of like what that class is kind of like looking at per se. And then my last class, if I remember correctly, is a critical approaches to media studies, and basically says that students will learn how to apply quantitative and qualitative analysis tools to mass media mediated texts as they look for embedded cultural and political meanings within our media. So those are kind of basically what I'm kind of taking for, like, this semester. So they look pretty interesting.
I think Jackie's master's degree that she's working on right now is integrated marketing, right?
Yeah, integrated marketing communications at Georgetown.
So it sounds like you guys are pretty similar.
Yeah. So we can share textbooks.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I haven't decided to get my master's yet. But it sounds like I'm going to do something. I'll probably do either what Jackie's doing or what you're doing. I'm just not quite sure yet.
Because I feel that, like, what basically happens is that, because, like, I feel like when it comes to, like, your master's, because, like, again, I've always been told that it's, like, you never have to, like, go into, like, what it is that you got for, like, a bachelor's. But it's, like, for me, I like to rather just stay on the same track if I can.
Right.
And it's, like, and I guess, like, for me personally, it's more of, I like it more just to, I love the aspects of communication. The fact that it's so broad, you can just do anything you want with it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me personally, it's because since I love to talk, that's just my go-to. So and that allows me just to talk, I'm going to talk. But I also feel that it's just like when it comes down to, it's kind of like when you're applying to colleges, you have to like kind of do your in-depth research itself when it comes to like the program itself, based off of like professors, like their research studies, what exactly it is kind of like you want to do personally, and kind of just like how can you get to that point. And that's kind of like the process that I'm at right now. It's just like figuring out how can I get to a point that I need to get to for my career goal.
What is your career goal?
So I have two different ones. So for the communication side of it, is that I basically want to become a film director. So I love creating things. So you give me a camera, give me a concept, and just let me have at it. I love doing that whole process, the pre-production, post-production, and just the production of it as well, just putting it all together. I just love that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And then the other side, kind of like looking within student affairs, like I don't mind working in Res Life, but I want to be able to get to the point where it's, I can actually set up programs and stuff at different colleges and institutions where like I'm considered a first generation college student. I'm also a student of low income. So college is a hard process. So I want to be able to create a type of program like in schools where first generation college students, students of low income, students with disabilities, stuff like that. But like not just like for only students of color, but also for white students as well, because again, white students come from, they can be on the poverty line as well, but just being able to create a program where they can come and get the assistance that they need, where they can develop like a personal relationship with people and get that help, whether it's personally, academically, or financially, and just give them the resources and the tools that they need to be able to make it throughout their college experiences. And for me, it's because, like, again, like by working here at WVSU, it's like the students that I work with, they are willing to open up to people. And for me, it's like I always say that, like, I can never give my own advice just using my own words, because I feel like I'm just not capable of doing it. But I grew up in the church, so everything I know is just through the Bible. So I can basically give you a story in the Bible that can relate to your situation and have a transparent moment with you and just tell you about my own personal lifestyle that I basically went through and let you know about that, and just basically kind of encourage you not to throw in the towel, because if you throw in the towel, then you're basically just kind of giving up on yourself, and that you're basically just believing about what it is that other people have said to you about how you will never make it, you can never be nothing, and you're just going to just end up on the streets like everybody else. And it's just like, I want to be able just to encourage people just to not throw in that towel and just continue just to push on, because you're at that point where you're about to break out and you're about to shock the world about what it is that you can do. So if you throw in that towel, then you're just not going to be able to prove the world wrong. You're just going to be another statistic. And that's what you don't want to be, is another statistic. You want to be able to show the world what you're capable of doing and that you can be able to push yourself over and beyond their expectations.
Exactly.
I love that.
I love it too.
That was so good. I'm clapping right now. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm standing up and clapping. Like that meme where they all stand up and they're like slow clapping and crying. That's what I'm doing right now.
Well, that's just basically where I found my passion out. Like, and again, it's like, and I was actually having this conversation with my mom too before, like I went, like when I was home for like the break, for the winter break, I was telling her that like, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm passionate about working with students. I'm also passionate about film. And she's like, well, which one are you more passionate about? I'm like, well, you can't say that, because they're on equal playing fields. I can basically see myself doing either one.
I do both.
Can work with students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally do both. I am in charge of video at Belmont. I have a few student filmmakers that are really amazing, that help tell the story of the university. through a camera lens. And I get to do all that fun pre and post production stuff that you do. I even get to go out and shoot stuff myself. So I'm lucky in that I have this weird job that lets me do website, lets me do social media, and lets me do video. And those are all things I love, and you can do all the things you love and still be in higher ed and still work with students. That's the wonderful thing about higher ed, is that you really can do a lot of things if you find the right place. And yeah. I've been lucky.
I feel like you can always work with students too. Most, yeah. Even though you're not faculty or working in like student affairs. I mean, I've worked with four student workers, and I know a lot of my other team members work with students too, which is really cool.
Marketing is a fun and interesting thing. You should look into it. That might be something you might want to do. And you get to still do, you still get to do things student affairs-y, which is fun. Because, you speak for everybody. You speak for the entire university whenever you're running a university social media account. So you get to work with student affairs. You get to work with Res Life. You get to work with, security or athletics or, academics, of course, because that's what we're all here to do anyway. So there's just a lot of amazing stuff that you get to do. And especially like on the making films side of marketing, that's just a lot of fun too. So being able to tell the story of a university through video is just awesome. I love it. Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, and that's basically kind of like what I started doing too. And that's what I'm about to actually do for this semester, because my boss actually gave me the task of actually creating a video for Residence Life and Services. Mm-hmm. So I can basically just put my own vision out there of how I want these incoming students to capture life on campus. Like, I want to be able just to encourage them just to come to state where you can have fun and also be able to meet new people and also just be able just to bond with people that are in your residence halls. So
find your home.
Yeah.
Not just a place to stay, but find your home. You're going to call it home. Sorry.
That is a lot of passion happening right now. That is very true.
Well, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of doing stuff like this, is because you can really be creative and you can really do a lot of fun and interesting things that people don't expect. And, since video is such a, immersive medium compared to other forms of media, you can really tell a story and you can really pull on those heartstrings.
When I was at UMass, when I took a couple of production courses, and it actually inspired me to actually start my own YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done much since I graduated from UMass, but I'm hoping to actually get back into it this semester. And what I basically kind of do is kind of just sometimes just different thoughts come to mind that I just feel like everybody should know or just be reminded of. Mm-hmm. So I kind of entitled my segment is just a little talk with Denzel. And I kind of just have different topics that is that we just need to kind of just remind ourselves about. And so I basically just record it and then just put it out there on YouTube. I don't really have that many subscribers and it's whatever. I just hope that whoever sees it and listens to it actually just takes what it is that I said and try to get a better understanding for themselves. And just, again, passing off this knowledge to somebody else. I'm not an expert at everything. I'm actually not an expert at nothing. I just know enough for myself, and I just want to try to pass that off to somebody else. So every single thing that I talk about, I don't throw Christianity at it. But as I basically said before, it's that I don't. Me personally, I can't really just give my own advice, my own opinions about stuff. I can only just give you a biblical perspective and kind of just try to explain it to you in that type of way. So,
that's so cool.
So basically, I kind of just I'm not being religious on my channel, but it's just that I try to just give you some of my own personal thing that it was that I went through either during that week or just something that just came up And I just feel like I just need to just share it with somebody. So
that's super. That's cool, kind of
what
though.
I do. What
that's
I might really do awesome.
We have to link to that in the show notes so people can check it out, and you'll get thousands and thousands of new subscribers to your channel. But it's neat. I mean, like, to find, like, this, it's kind of like what this podcast is for Logan and I, is like, you know, to find a project that you're passionate about, like, that you're excited about.
Yeah.
That,
you know, no matter if one person listens or a million people listen, like, it's cool to be, share. To have a project and share things like that. That's yeah. awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we're about out of time.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's having so much fun.
It's a lot of awesome.
The majority of it was more of my interruptions, too.
Oh, no, it's okay.
So thanks, Denzel, for joining us this week.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
No, thank you guys for actually allowing me to actually have a stand to be able just to, again, like, just being able just to share and just knowing that, like, even though that we all kind of work in higher ed in some type of way, but it's just that the experience of it is always different between everybody, and it's just that just being able to have that moment and opportunity just be able just to share is awesome for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Listeners, head down to higher-ed.social and get links to the things we talked about today, and subscribe to the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, please consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AGS Podcasts and send us a tweet. We love talking to you, and don't forget to let us know if you want to be on the show. Thanks again for listening, and thanks to Emma Hawes, our producer. Higher Ed Social is part of the Connect EDU network, the first podcast network for higher education that brings together brilliant minds in higher education and breaks down silos. Visit the website connectedu.network and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you work on campus. Spread the love on Twitter with the hashtag ConnectEDU and follow the network at ConnectEDUPod on Twitter.
I'm back. Sorry.
Hey.
I just need just to get rid of this phone. Oh, God.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
So let's take it from you talking about driving in to campus.
Okay. So as we were driving, I was kind of like, oh, God, I can't do nothing.